So today's morning text is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, chapter 17, text 43-44. 43 has no purpose, so I'll just read the text and then the translation. Translation. Then all the assembled gentlemen exclaimed, "What is this? What is this? Who has performed such mischievous activities? Who is that sinful man?" So, text 44. They called for a sweeper, Hadi, who threw all the items of worship far away and cleansed the place by mopping it with a mixture of water and cow dung. Sometimes when you travel from the US to the UK, it's a little bit difficult to deal with the situation because you get used to the American accent, and when you come you have to change the ra to T. So So, purport. The men in various society who engage in public sanitary activities like picking up stool and sweeping the street are called hadis. Sometimes they are untouchable, especially when engaged in their profession. Yet, such hadis also have the right to become devotees. This is established by Sri Bhagavad Gita, where the Lord declares, "Mamhi patta vipasri cha yepya syu papa yonaya sriyavashyas tatasu dras tepi yanti parangati." O son of Prita, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women vicious merchants, as well as sudras workers, can approach the supreme destination. Bhagavad Gita 9:32. There are many untouchables of the lower castes in India, but according to Vaishnava principles, everyone is welcome to accept this Krishna consciousness movement on the spiritual platform of life and thus be freed from trouble. Equality or fraternity on the material platform is impossible. Equal rights and social justice, Prabhupada is saying, is impossible. When Lord Chaitanya declares Trinadapi Sunishena Tharorapi Sahisnuna, he indicates that one must be above the material conception of life. When one thoroughly understands that he is not the material body, but a spirit soul, he is even humbler than a man of the lower caste, for he is spiritually elevated. Such humility, in which one thinks himself lower than the grass, is called Sunichatva. You know, remember we have Vishnu Tattva, Jiva Tattva. So this mindset, this state of affairs is Sunichatva. When one is acting on the platform of Trinadapi Sunishena Tarorapi Sahisnana, it means his operational level is Sunichatva. So easy to talk, difficult work, difficult to practice. Sweet to talk, difficult to practice. And be more tolerant than a tree is called Sahisnutva. forbearance, being situated in devotional service, not caring for the material conception of life, is called amanitwa, indifference to material respect. Yet a devotee thus situated is called manada, for he is prepared to give honor to others without hesitation. Mahatma Gandhi started the Harijan movement to purify the untouchables. But he was a failure because he thought that one could become a Harijan, a personal associate of the Lord, through some kind of material adjustment. That's not possible. Unless one fully realizes that he is not the body, but a spiritual soul, there is no question of his becoming a Harijan. Those who do not follow in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his disciplic succession cannot distinguish between matter and spirit, and therefore all their ideas are but a mixed up hodgepodge of problems. They are virtually lost in the bewildering network of Maya Devi. Om Agyanatimirandasya Agyananjanan Salakaya Saksuru Militam Jena Tasmai Si Gurve Namaha Sichaitanya Manobhistam Stavetam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupam Kadamaya Dadati Swa Padantikam Vanchakalpataribhyacha Kripasunubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vashnavibhyo Namon Namon Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pistaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Etinamani Namaste Sada Satadeva Gauravani Bicharini Nirvishesa Sanyavadi Pachatya Desitari Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Rasiva Sadis Gauravaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So again, welcome to the Mano for this morning class. So let's get a little bit to the background before we get into the purpose of Prabhupada. Background of this very text, these two texts. Wherein in text 43 there is an exclamation here. Then all the assembled gentlemen exclaimed, "What is this? What is this? Who has performed such mischievous activities? Who is that sinful man?" Then they called for a sweeper Hadi, who threw all the items of worship far away and cleansed the place by mopping it with a mixture of water and cow dung. Cow dung has been scientifically proven to possess, it's an antiseptic. Cow dung. But this information, this very information, it's been embedded in the Vedic literature for thousands of years. For thousands of years ago. It's only recently the scientists have come to discover that. Whatever we don't see does not exist. Whatever we don't perceive does not exist, they say. But when we discover something, what does it mean? It means the thing was there, it's just that we didn't see it before. If you are sweeping, cleaning this temple room, and if you see some dime or some coin somewhere, you may claim that you discovered a coin. The coin was there. You just saw it now. It doesn't mean that it wasn't there. So now the scientists say cow dung is antiseptic. But that very information has been in the Vedic literature for thousands of years. So here, the car dung was mixed with, they used car dung mixed with water to clean the place. Why the cleaning? Because the place has been putrefied by some contaminants. How is that? Gopala Chapala, he was gaslighting Srinivas, Srinivas Thakur. Yes, if you study, if you Google gaslighting, there's the psychology of gaslighting, there is physiology of gaslighting. There's so many things that are embedded in just that terminology, gaslighting. So much of manipulation. People use different manipulations to try to control people, try to even kill people. They laugh with you, but they go behind to kill you. They arrange some things to get you exterminated. Those are all part of gaslighting. So, even in the spiritual culture, this gaslighting goes on. So Gopala Chapala, he could not tolerate, you know, the glories of Srinivas Thakur. They were always having nocturnal kirtans in Srinivas Thakur's place. And instead of appreciating, he schemed. He generated some strategy to gaslight Srinivas Thakur. So he brought, you know, paraphernalia for the worship of Durga and put it at the doorpost of Srinivas Thakur, hoping that, you know, when the neighbors come to see it, they will just, you know, denigrate Srinivas Thakur that, he claims to be a Vaishnava, but look, he's a Durga worshipper, man. So look at him. Look at him. This is called gaslighting. It looks like a sweet word, but it's very offensive. You know, the English language, we have so many terminologies that are very like, when you pronounce it, it looks very, you know, very attractive, very good. Okay, for instance, phenomenological mindset. I use that word, that term a lot in my writings in the academy. So, if you hear the word phenomenological mindset, you say, wow, amazing. But it simply means demoniac mentality. So gaslighting also, it looks like very attractive. Gaslighting, that must be great. But no, it's not great. A gaslighter is a pashandi, offender. Envy, destructive jealousy, these are all part of gaslighting. So Gopala Chapala, he was a typical gaslighter of the time. He couldn't contain his envy against or towards Srinivas. So he made all these arrangements, got all of this paraphernalia, puja paraphernalia, and put it in his doorpost. But when the neighbors, look at the whole thing, it turned around. Purity, Prabhupada said, is the force. Similar, some people were trying to kill Bhaktisiddhanta during his time. They want to meet the police, the top police guys, to give them bribe so that they can go ahead and do what they want and the whole thing will be buried. Or the police to execute it on their behalf. But the police told them that, we know we are corrupt. In India here, we know, police, we are corrupt. We take bribe, we do all sort of nonsense things. But this one is a sadhu. We cannot do it. We can't take a bribe. And then the police went ahead to inform Bhaktisiddhanta that this is people are planning to kill you. Better find a way. So Gopala Chapala, he was trying to really like completely bring down Shiva's Thakur. So you have to put in all these paraphernalia for the neighbors to come and see, so that the neighbors will attack Shiva's Thakur. The neighbors came to see it and they were astonished. They rather were backing Shiva's Thakur. They thought, Shiva's, he can't do this. Who did this? Who put this nonsense here? You see the power of devotion? So I just give you an example of Bhaktisiddhanta. People plan some evil against him, he turned around. The police that they were going to seek help, the police get behind, Bhaktisiddhanta to help him. So here, Gopala Chapala, he was trying to use the neighbors against Shiva's Thakur, but then the neighbors backed up Shiva's Thakur against Gopala Chapala. What is this? How is that? Devotion, dependence on Krishna. And look at the case of Mother Kunti. They were trying to derobe her in the assembly. No one could really come for help. So she was struggling, she was fighting here and there. But later she realized, these are men, these are strong Kshatriyas. What can I do? Hey Krishna, Govinda! She raised up her hands and so did that unto Krishna. And Krishna came, manifested in the form of unlimited saris. See the power of devotion? So here, Gopal Chapala, he was a terrible guy. Envy personified. But what happened to Gopal Chapala? What happened to him? After performing this heinous act, he caught up with leprosy. Automatic reaction. He caught up with leprosy. What are we talking about? We're talking about Vaishnava apparat, offenses to the devotees. What is the consequence of offenses? Trouble. Big trouble. Big one. And offenses doesn't just mean some young devotee being perceived as an offender to a senior devotee. A senior devotee can also be an offender to a very new person who came to the movement today. And you know what? Prabhupada mentions repeatedly in his purpose, the laws of nature are very stringent. So whether you're a Paramahamsa, it doesn't matter. The laws of nature have no respect for you. You can't bribe the laws of nature. That is the import of Prabhupada's statement. The laws of nature are very stringent. If you offend somebody, it doesn't matter whether you're a Paramahamsa. You will pay for the reactions. You may be very powerful, but you will pay for the reaction. A typical example is the case of Durvasa Muni, Ambarish Maharaj. Durvasa offended Ambarish. He had powers to even travel to Vaikuntha Loka to take shelter of Lord Vishnu. But Lord Vishnu told him, I can't deal with this. No, this is completely beyond my jurisdiction. You have to go back to Ambarish and reconcile with him. Go beg him. I cannot protect you. Subari Muni was so powerful. He was doing meditation in the bed of the sea. But he offended a devotee, Garuda. Subari Muni fell down. He fell down from his yogic position. Most of the problems we have in our devotional life are from the top person to Indra Gopa due to offenses. Offenses. It's so easy to be offensive. But it's not so easy to be free from the reactions. It's so easy to be offensive. And it's so easy to be offensive, for a senior person to be offensive to a younger devotee. Because we think, I've been there before you, I'm a senior. Hey, you didn't pay obeisance to me this morning. Why? You're offensive. What stops you from paying obeisance to him? Don't you see the super soul in him? Why are you waiting for him to pay obeisance to you? False ego. So, we have to be careful, because this devotional culture is a part where even the devotees dread to tread. Because it's so dangerous. It's like a blade razor, it cuts this way and cuts this way. With a blade razor, a brahmachari could use a blade razor to make a clean shave. But if you don't handle the blade razor nicely, you will end up being hospitalized. Is it correct? Yeah, so devotional service, it looks very sweet. But every sweet thing has some danger behind it. I'll give an example. Sugar is very sweet, is it not? You take too much of sugar, what's the result? Diabetes. Something is just too sweet, we have to be careful, okay? So, let's get to the purport and see what we can grab from it. That is just the background of this story, okay? So, in the purport here, Prabhupada mentions that, you know, those who are scavengers, you know, street cleaners, people denigrate them. They look like, you know, they're low class or whatever. But the spirit soul has no low class. Spirit soul has no low class or high class. The spirit soul is a prakriti. I remember a story Prabhupada was narrated in one of his lectures. So, how many of you have heard about Meera, the great singer from the Indian subcontinent? Yeah. So Meera, actually, he retired to Vrindavan. She retired to Vrindavan. And that time, Rupa Goswami and the other Goswamis, they were all there. So Meera wanted to have a darshan of Rupa Goswami. And you know, in India, especially in those days, the Swamis, they were very strict with women. Rupa Goswami, we Rupa Nugas, we are following the path of Rupa Goswami. He's the greatest of acharyas in our disciplined succession. So Meera sent a message that she wanted to have a darshan of Rupa Goswami, and Rupa Goswami sent a response back that, I don't give darshan to women. So this is a good boon for mothers. So Rupa said, hi, I'm Rupa Goswami. I don't give darshan to women. So, now see, look at the difference between the acharya and the kanista adhikari. The acharya is ready to accept any mistakes he makes. He is very adjustable. The kanista is maladjusted. The acharya is highly adjustable. The kanista adhikari is maladjusted. So, we're talking about how we get offended, how we get offenses. So when Meera heard that, this is what Rupa Goswami said, so she sent a response back that, I thought that in Vrindavan here, Krishna is the only Purusa, and we are all Prakriti. No, we are all females. How come that? You are saying you cannot see another female. Explain. So Rupa Goswami responded that, you are correct. You are right. The canister doesn't want to accept false. And that's why the canister is very offensive. He might be somebody who has been there for 40 years, but he's a canister. Because he can't accept that I have deficiencies. Conditional life means deficiencies. Rupa Goswami is a Paramahamsa. But a lady, a woman, corrected. Look, in those days in India, ladies don't have anything to say. What all that you have to do is yes, yes, yes. Finish. How will you get the gods to correct a Goswami? But Mira did. And she won the case. She won the case because the Paramahamsa was submissive. Paramahamsa was operating on what I call fallibilistic flexibility. If we don't have fallibilistic flexibility, we are into trouble. If we don't have a flexibility that is based on the fact that we are fallible, we make mistakes, we are into trouble. We can go on being offensive to people. And so, I think I remember some time back, I was telling someone about Mira's story, Indian boy, and he said, he was very skeptical, he was doubting. So I just looked at him and laughed, because he's a small boy. I don't argue with people. First of all, you have not even read widely the Vedic literature. And someone is saying something that you're skeptical. You're skeptical, you should challenge me, and then, you know, I'll prove my case. I'll bring out the very proper voice giving this story to you. Yeah. So, in the purport here, Prabhupada mentions that the path of bhakti is open for everybody. We cannot discriminate. This is a woman. This is an old man. This is a green man. This is a black man. This is a yellow man. A white man. No. There's nothing like that. Because we are all prakriti. According to Mira, are you doubting that we are all Prakriti? Krishna is the only Purusa. Krishna is the only Purusa. We tend to assume the position of the Purusa. We want to become like Krishna. That is where we get entangled. So, according to the purport, even the so-called Sudras, they are eligible to go back to Godhead if they take to the path of devotional service. Everyone is eligible to go back to Godhead if they take to the path of devotional service. Therefore, it is our responsibility. Responsibility comes from two words, response and ability. We do have the ability to respond to situations. If we get overwhelmed by the modes of passion and ignorance, and we lost our credibility and ability to respond to situations in a favorable way that will help to facilitate our spiritual positive change, then we are into trouble. So here, Prabhupada quotes Lord Krishna's exact statement. O son of Prita, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, they are eligible to come back to God. So it's our duty to be able to encourage everyone who comes our way, who crosses our way. Not everyone is going to come and sit down in the manor as full-time devotees. Some people, we may just encourage them to do some service. Some people, we may just encourage them to chant. Some people may just encourage them to be coming to the programs. And some people will just want to give the whole of their lives to the process of Krishna consciousness. We should leave the door, we should leave our doors open to everyone to be able to fulfill Krishna's statement, or in pursuance of this, of Krishna's statement in the Gita 9:32. Whether they are perceived as untouchables or not. And then Prabhupada mentions about the effort of Gandhi. He said, Prabhupada mentioned that Gandhi failed in his attempt, in his spiritual attempt. And spiritual attempt cannot be mixed with mundane mismatch. Because they are completely, they're distant features, different features. If you mix, for instance, if you mix some orange, with yogurt, you mix some orange juice with milk by mistake, what will you get? Obviously not milk, isn't it?
Yeah.
You may get something like near yogurt, not even pure yogurt. So what Mahatma Gandhi tried to do was like to mix two things that are not compatible. Material adjustment with spirituality. It doesn't work in that way. There was good intention, but the approach was wrong. We may have good intentions, but that should be also accomplished by proper approach. Otherwise, our good intentions alone is not enough as far as spiritual life is concerned. Therefore, we need guidance. Oh yeah. Mahatma Gandhi tried to do something, he had no guidance. He was just basing on his intelligent quotient. But it's not politics. Even politics, you need guidance. First, you have to serve under some top guy in there so that you know all of the norms, how to operate, how to divide and rule. You need to work under someone. So, remember I mentioned that the devotional culture is a part where even devatas dread to tread. Even devatas, even the demigods, they dread to tread on this path. Why? Because it looks very simple. And it's something that is simple. If an exam is very simple, you may likely fail. Because you will not be attentive to details. You will not read thoroughly the question. You just start writing, and at the end of the day, you pass your paper before you realize, oh, how many mistakes here? Oh, how many mistakes here? Because it looks so simple. Devotional service also looks so simple. You ask anybody who has been attending our programs, attending the temple, who has been practicing for some years, you say, how is devotional service? Oh, it's very simple. Very simple. I say devotional service, I think I was speaking with some New York devotees, and they also mentioned that, it's very simple. As the president, he said, it's very simple. I see. So, if devotional service is simple, the very kindergarten philosophy of devotional service is that we are not this body. I'm not this body. I am Brahmasmi. Is there anybody here who has lived above the body? I've lived above the body. Raise up your hand. Anybody? You have lived above the body? If you have lived above the body, raise up your hand. Devotional service is very easy. Is it very easy? Simple? It might look very simple, but it's not easy to accomplish. Yeah. And so that is where the guidance comes in. And so Prabhupada mentions here that Gandhi failed because he thought that one could become a Harijan, a personal associate of the Lord, through some kind of material adjustment. But it doesn't work like that. What we need is a focus. But Prabhupada established a very simple process that we can just follow on his footpath, and we can become successful. Now, if you go to even in the academy, if you go to any faculty of management, the founder of that faculty of management, his mission statement is written on the wall. His vision is written. His goals are written. Now, every other dean who comes in, they just follow that. They follow the mission statement of the founder of that faculty. They follow his vision. They follow his goals. They may make some details in terms of how to expedite the achievement of those processes, but it's always the same. Prabhupada also established his mission statement, his goals, and his vision of ISKCON. If we follow that same mission, vision, and goals, our success, sustainable success, is guaranteed. So, it is important for us to reflect on the need to be guided. Why? Because Papa mentions here, those who do not follow in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his disciplic succession cannot distinguish between matter and spirit. And therefore, all their ideas are but a hodgepodge. Followership. Before you become a leader, you have to be a follower. Followership is concomitant to success. Yes, so the standard the Prabhupada has given to us is so simple. Like the weekends, even the professionals, those who are living nearby, they can really have a good time here in the morning, come to Mangarati. And you see that you're blissed out. You're not the same. So look at your great fortune. So we have to be in a position to encourage each other, because the path it seems very simple, but it's not. It's not. It's complicated. The subtleties make it complex. This is very simple, but the subtleties of devotional culture makes it very complex. Otherwise, you know, this place wouldn't have. We won't have space here. But so many people have tried it in the past and they didn't make it. About 75% of people who tried it didn't make it. Yeah. That is even not to exaggerate. And the same principle applies in all spheres of life. When we initiate a project, it's very easy to initiate something. I want to do this. I've started this. But to do it to the end, that is the issue. And Gopala Chapala's case is a typical example of why people, majority of us, we don't make it to the end. But we have to encourage each other to be around. We should not be a source of discouragement to anyone, because the path is not so easy. It looks that it's easy, but it's not so easy. Therefore, we have to become our brothers or sisters' keepers. I think I was speaking to somebody, whether yesterday or so. So there was some group of brahmacharis I met in Montreal, in Canada. And so the leader, he came to meet me. So, Maharaj, what can I do to help these devotees? I said, oh, it's very simple. I said, you should treat them like you treat your younger brother. You should treat all these brahmacharis who are traveling with you for Harinam Sankirtan. I say you should treat them like your younger brother. Guess what he said? Can someone guess what he said? His response? Yeah, he said, it's very difficult. He said, it's very difficult. So we may say devotional service is easy, but if somebody is sincere, he said, it's very difficult. Any comments or questions? What is this? Who has performed such mischievous activities? Mischief. We should not be mischievous, okay? So, remedy was there. They didn't just shout around and say, who did this? They were proactive. Get something done to clean up the mess. Get someone to come and clean it. So we may see somebody doing something wrong. Are we going to be reactive or proactive? It's a typical case here. Proaction and reaction. The guy was an offender, but the neighbors who come to see the mess, they didn't just go after him and say, hey, kill him. He did this, kill him. Let's clean up the place first. Rectify the situation. So when we see something wrong in our movement, we should have the mindset of these neighbors who came, saw the mess, and they've said, let's clean up the mess before we go after the offender. We should have this mindset. We should help out. We should be proactive. If someone has even done something wrong, we should think, how best can I help this person? Not send him to hell. Get out, get it. Just kill him. You have a gun there? Just shoot him. He's a rascal. He's been very offensive all these years. Now it's time to shoot him. Just shoot him, okay? But this was not the case with the neighbors of Srivastakur. They were proactive. Any comments or questions?